You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Gordon Brand Jr.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as the golf world mourns the loss of one of its greatest ever players, Arnold Palmer.
There has never been another in the game like Arnold Palmer, and I dare say there will never be another quite like him again.
More reflection on the life of a golfing legend to come. Meanwhile, Alex Levy triumphs at the Porsche European Open via a playoff.
A lot of things happen the last few months for me, and to make this putt and the second hole playoff, it's fantastic.
And away from the action in Germany, there's just a small matter of the Ryder Cup to look forward to. We've got a full preview coming up, and we'll hear from Matt Fitzpatrick, Patrick Reed, Dustin Johnson and Lee Westwood.
I think there's some obvious partnerships, some not so obvious, you know, to the outsiders, but I think Darren's got a lot of options, so I think some people will be surprised at some of the pairings that Darren puts out.
So a full review of the Porsche European Open is on the way, as well as a look ahead to the big one, the Ryder Cup, in Hazeltine. Hello, I'm Robert Lee, and I'm joined on the show by former Ryder Cupper, multi-champion on the European Tour, Gordon Brand Jr. Gordon, hello.
Good morning, Robert.
Yeah, massive week ahead for everyone.
Just absolutely massive, isn't it? We've been waiting for this week for an awful long time.
Sad news overnight, first of all, the passing of Arnold Palmer.
It was very sad, wasn't he? Definitely the king of the game, forerunner of our game, brilliant professional, brilliant man as well, dies at 87.
And probably more than anybody else, changed the game of golf, the popularity of the game of golf.
Well, he realised that, I think, Mark McCormack, that the Open Championship was a big event, came over in the 60s, played at the old course, lost by a shot to Cal Nagel, then went on to win in 61 and 62. He was really the person that said to America, you must come and play in this championship.
Yeah, racked up seven majors during a long, long career, 90 tournament wins. Jack said he would miss him greatly, and Arnold transcended the game of golf. He was more than a golfer or even a great golfer. He was an icon. He was a legend. And that's, I guess if it comes from Jack Nicklaus, that's it. And then nothing else to be said.
That sums it up, isn't he? I mean, Arnold had everything, didn't he? If you look at the players now, he had Tiger Woods in the bag. He had Dustin Johnson. He had
Seve.
Phil Mickelson. He had Seve. All in one guy. He had the charisma, he had the game, he had the flair.
The thing was that the Arnie's Army thing, that was the thing that changed. You know, people were just desperate to get to an event that he was at. He was the Pied Piper.
He was just the man who had everything, and really everybody who picked up a golf club nowadays has to be thankful for Arnold Palmer.
Yeah, sad, sad day. So I'm sure the world of golf will be reflecting on what was a marvellous life and a marvellous golfing career. Now, the Ryder Cup news is to come, but let's turn our attention to events at the golf resort Bad Griesbach and Alexander Levy. He made a birdie at the second playoff hole to beat Ross Fischer and win his third European Tour title in Germany. It was reduced to 54 holes because of bad weather. Funnily enough, bad weather. The course was underwater because of flooding. It was unplayable. Somehow, no pro-am on the Wednesday. They got the course playable, and then, of all things, they got hit by fog. Fog on Thursday morning, Friday morning, Saturday morning. Play wasn't really possible until about 11, 11.30 local time. So they got behind. They couldn't complete four rounds of golf by the Sunday. But on the final day, Gordon, the weather was beautiful, as it had been all week once the fog had lifted. It was a spectacular shootout in the closing holes between Fischer and Alex Levy.
It was certainly a spectacular shoot. They couldn't go into Monday, obviously, because we've got players that are going on to the Ryder Cup. But for Levy to make the birdie on the second extra hole on that tough par four, and obviously his celebrations really summed up what he felt about it and how he felt.
How about 17 under par for two rounds going in before the last round for Alex Levy? No bogeys, 17 under par, 17 birdies.
You're almost in a dream when you do that. Certainly no bogeys is absolutely fantastic around a tough golf course. And also having to wait and probably not played the golf course. So he's played three and he's won the tournament.
Well, I'm very pleased to say that the latest champion on the European Tour is on the line right now, Alex Levy, the new Porsche European Open champion. Alex, it was an amazing week. You must be delighted.
Yeah, amazing week. Amazing finish. I don't realise at this time what I did yesterday, but I think day after day I will realise what I did.
You know, for 2 days you played flawless golf. You were 17 under par for two rounds without a bogey. You must have thought this game is so easy.
No, it's not that. But sometimes I can play a golf like that. I don't know what happened on the golf course, but I just take a pleasure on the golf course, just play for the flag, and I hold the putt. everything happen, and that's so cool.
Have you always played with that style, that way of playing golf? Has that always been you?
No, I really like to go for the flag. I really like when the golf course are soft, because you can have a target golf. And this week was kind of this style. And I just came Wednesday night. I don't play practice day, don't work on a golf course, and I just have fun on the golf course.
Alex, it's been a frustrating year for you, a lot of injuries. How have you coped with that?
Yeah, a lot of things happened this year. It was tough because I don't play a major, I don't play the Olympics, I don't play the big events during June and August.
Has that made you feel a little bit more relaxed, a bit, well, you know, it's not going great, let's just have a go for this? Or, as Robert says, is that the way you play? Do you like to just play free with no thoughts?
No, they give me a lot of motivation to come back. I think that's the things who happened after my injury.
When you hit your second shot to the 18th hole, left of the grandstands, behind the people, where did you think it had finished?
I don't know where we'll finish, but I know it was not a good side to finish.
It was pretty cool. And the way you finished it off, Alex, with that birdie putt, to make birdie on that 18th hole, which is a difficult par four, your celebration at the end was fantastic.
Yeah, it was a good moment. When I finished my 18 green, I know I asked Greg how he finished, because he was close to for the card, and he say I finished 7, and I know he keep his card on tour next year. And I was really happy with for him, because I have a really good relation with him. And I don't know, when I hold this putt, I just want to have fun, and I don't realize what I did to jump in the bunker and everything, and that was so funny.
It was great, yeah, because Gregory Hevre, 65 last round, as you say, an important top 10 for him. This week off, will you be watching the Ryder Cup?
Yeah, we'll be watching, and I hope Europe will win this one.
Alex, I think we might see a few European celebrations, just like the one you did on that 18th green. You were absolutely superb. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Top player, Gordon. Top player. Very nice kid.
Well, I mean, injury free, I think he could be a real top player in this game of golf. And, you know, he posts the scores, but he's a bit like Chris Wood. He needs a good run at it.
I can see, and I keep saying it, I can see Alex Levy winning a major championship. I can. I think he's that good. Well, it's his first European Tour win since the 2014 Portugal Masters. His third win in his 101st official event. It means he becomes the quickest French player to win their first three events. The previous quickest Frenchman was Grégory Bourdi. He took 141 events. If you're a statistician or a bit of an anorak and you spend a lot of times alone in a pub, this is for you. Joins Paul Laurier as only the second player on the European Tour to win official events over 36, 54 and 72 holes. And he moves up to 105 on the official world golf rankings. He's now 29th on the Race to Dubai. Moving in the right direction now at long last after a sort of protracted season, Gordon.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very difficult, and he did allude to in his conversation there that he was relieved to start to play again, and it was almost a joy for him to play. So if he can get a free run of it, who knows?
He does play with the joy of the game inside him. He certainly does, Alex Levy. All right, let's hear from Ross Fisher. As we heard, he lost in the playoff, something which is becoming an annoying habit.
I think that's 0 from 4 now, so I've got to get the job done, because playoffs don't really suit me. You know, I lost one in HSBC to Mickelson and Westwood. I lost one at the Dunhill to Keimer and Robert Carlson. You know, I lost one to Marcel and Alex in China. So playoffs haven't been overly kind to me.
Do you know, I don't think he can criticise himself. He played beautifully in the last round, and that last hole is a difficult, difficult par four. One of the toughest closing holes we've got in the European Tour, and he parred it twice. What can you do?
Playoffs are really difficult. You know, you play 72 holes or 52 holes in a motion, and then all of a sudden it's a 100-yard sprint. It's really difficult. And as you say, it's often won by a spectacular birdie. So you can't really knock yourself. It's been a great week, hasn't it? I think if you turned up to a tournament and said you're going to finish second, it doesn't matter how you finish second, it's a great week. But 0-4 is not a great record for him. I think I was 3-1. I think I lost 3 playoffs, 1-1. But it's just one of those things. It's really difficult to go in a playoff. Because do you play aggressively? Do you not play aggressively? Maybe just have one shot less than 72 holes and avoid the situation.
And maybe you can also reflect on the fact that you've tied four times, so you've played pretty well, haven't you?
You've beaten the whole field, haven't you?
Yeah, you've tied four times. Gary Player counts those as wins if he loses in the playoff.
Does he?
Yeah, because he had the best score of the week.
Well, maybe I should. I've got to look at my CV there.
I think we've got to revisit your situation. Bad luck, Gordon. 3-1.
Yeah, it was bad luck, I think. Yeah, I can remember the Dutch Open. I should have won that. Langer made a...
Oh, hang on, let me put my shoes on, my glove. OK, go on.
Well, he made a ridiculous par three on this hole where you couldn't go left. Up, you know, Langer, up and downed it for fun. And, you know, then the next hole, I made a bogey and he's, you know, they think, well, I should have won that the hole before. I think it just is one of those things.
Is that a little tear in your eye there? I can see.
No, I can remember that, and I threw my golf shoes out of the bus on the way to the airport.
It's things you have to live with, Gordon. Things you have to live with. Top 10 read like this. Alex Levy, the champion, 69 in the final round, following a 62 and a 63. So he was in the numero uno position. Ross Fisher, second, lost in the playoff. Michael Johnson, last minute inclusion in the event because somebody pulled out, and he finished tied third with Robert Carlsen. Bernd Wiesberger, fifth. Martin Keimer, sixth, just before he goes off to Hazeltine. Richard Bland, another top 10, with Eduardo de la Riva, Florian Fritsch, Gregory Havre, John Hugo, and Matthew Southgate. And a lot of players, by the way, that need money to get into the 110, having a very good week. That scramble is definitely alive and well, and we'll follow that story as we go through the weeks from now on. It gets really, really pressure-packed. It really does. Tips-wise, I went for Bernd Wiesberger. Fifth, Jamie Spence, loser, went for Tommy Fleetwood, who finished 13th. So that was fairly simple. On the Fancy Race to Dubai, the game, that is, Richard Titmuss won with his team three-horse race. He topped the weekly standings with 1.58 million points with 110 tagged on the end. He had Alex Levy, Ross Fisher, Bernd Wiesberger and Robert Carlsen in his team. Well picked. Thomas Edling still leads the overall standings with nearly 26 million points, over a million points ahead of his nearest rival. OK, time for the top 10 standings in the Race to Dubai. Still at number one is Danny Willett. Henrik Stenson is two. Rory McIlroy, three. Rafa Cabrera-Bayern, four. Louis Oosthuizen is five. Brandon Grace, six. Chris Wood, seven. Alex Noren, eight. Tyrrell Hatton, nine. And Lee Westwood rounds out the top 10. Now, on the PGA Tour, Rory McIlroy won a playoff to seal victory in the Tour Championship. He wins $1.5 million for that, but he does win the $10 million bonus for winning the FedEx Cup. So something he hasn't done before, he's done it now. He's running out of things to do. Perhaps a gold medal for Rory the next time, and a Masters would be the complete set. But well done, Rory. He played some phenomenal golf. It was breathtaking at times. It really was. The Northern Irishman rolled in a birdie from 15 feet to edge out Ryan Moore on the fourth playoff hole. The world number three's victory was enough to see him beat US Open champion Dustin Johnson to the FedEx Cup, which, of course, is the PGA Tour's season-long points race. So form at the right time, Gordon.
Well, I think it's been coming from Rory since he's changed his putting coach for me. The putting stroke looks much, much better, and I think that's freed up his game a little bit. He's always had the game. He just needs to be able to finish it off sometimes.
Well, he's taking a lot of good feeling and bonhomie to his 11 teammates at the Ryder Cup, that is for sure. That'll be a boost for the European side. Consolation for Ryan Moore, who lost out in the playoff because he was named by Davis Love as his final wildcard pick for the American Ryder Cup team. The selection of rookie Moore, who's the world number 31, means there's no place in the US Ryder Cup team for two-time Masters champion and world number 7, that's amazing, Bubba Watson. We will have a full Ryder Cup preview in a minute. And in other news, Justin Rose has been named the Hilton European Tour Golfer of the Month for August, following his historic Olympics victory in Rio, where he overcame Henrik Stenson by two shots. World rankings, they're going to be a little bit fluid, I should think, over the next few weeks. For now, it's Jason Day still at number one, Dustin Johnson two, Rory McIlroy closing the gap, he's three, Jordan Spieth four, Henrik Stenson five, Adam Scott six, Bubba Watson seven, no Ryder Cup, Patrick Reed eight, Ricky Fowler, 9. Danny Willett, Masters champion, in 10th spot. Justin Rose just outside that, by the way, in number 11. OK, so on to this week's action from Friday, September the 27th to Sunday, October the 2nd. All eyes will be on Hazeltine National Golf Club in Chaska, Minnesota for the Ryder Cup. And joining us to discuss the latest installment of the USA versus Europe clash, it seemed only fair to get an American viewpoint, so we're joined by esteemed golf broadcaster and friend of the Race to Dubai show, Matt Adams. Matt, how are you? And before we get into the Ryder Cup, let's first reflect on the overnight news that it was the passing of Arnold Palmer that's kind of shocked the world.
Yes, I believe it has shocked the world. Not that it was unexpected. I think many knew that Mr. Palmer was in failing health, but whenever the end comes, there always is that element of shock that accompanies it. The two emotions that I would say on this side of the pond, though, gentlemen, is one of just sadness at the loss of Arnold Palmer for all that he represented to the game of golf. And then there's also this element that is starting to emerge even at this hour, which is a joyful reflection of the time that we had with the man and all that he was, because his life was all about joy. He always had that twinkle in his eye. He always had that smile in the corner of his lips. And he had this way of making anyone and everyone feel special in his company. We knew that he was special, but he had a way that when you were with him, made you feel like in that moment in time, you had 100% of his focus and attention, and you felt that he thought you were every bit as important as you already knew that he was. He just was a very, very special human being. There has never been another in the game like Arnold Palmer, and I dare say there will never be another quite like him again.
And I suppose, Matt, when you look at the excitement that Arnie used to produce on a golf course and how the crowd would be frenzied watching him, it's almost timing, God's timing almost, that we're starting this week's Ryder Cup with the thought of Arnold Palmer in the back of the minds of the 24 players that are taking part.
Well, it's an interesting observation, Robert, and I'm glad you brought it up in that context, because I think oftentimes when we're talking about the Ryder Cup, we get so swept up in sensationalism and an attempt vainly to read signs of offense on one side or the other, that we lose the focus and the aspect that this was started as a hands-across-the-water exhibition between Great Britain, Ireland, and the United States team. And it was meant to be a celebration of the game. And sometimes in all of that, I do think it's media-driven. I don't think that the players in particular are drumming it up, although they get pulled into the music on the floor. I think that Mr. Palmer makes us remember that golf is about sharing times with your friends and having fun. And when it's all said and done, you take your hat off and you extend your hand and you wish each the best and a congratulations on whichever side won. And so the timing as far as the start of the Ryder Cup week goes with this passing of Arnold Palmer, I hope it has an imprint on the sense of the events.
And Gordon, since you played Ryder Cup, has it been ramped up since the last one you played to what it is now?
Oh, it's absolutely gone through the roof, hasn't it? I mean, I played 87 to 89, lucky to be on both teams as winning, but I mean, now it really is a massive circle that goes round. Just one question I'd like to ask to Matt. Do you think the passing of Arnold Palmer could inspire the Americans, i.e. we have our Seve Ballesteros as our hero. Do you think they could use that for their talisman for the week?
They could, but Mr. Palmer was such a global golfing icon that I think it's quite possible that both sides can hearken to the impact that a man had through the playing of the game of golf and just expressing the joy that he had in playing the game of golf and how it could affect so many, many millions and millions and millions of people all over the globe. So I don't actually think that Arnold Palmer is looked upon from a Ryder Cup perspective the same way that Seve was looked upon from a European perspective. He was the heart and soul of that team. In fact, he would rip his heart out of his chest in order to win, as you well know, having been in his company. Again, I think that Arnold Palmer will have a profound impact on this week's Ryder Cup, but I think that the impact of Arnold Palmer for this week's Ryder Cup will be one of civility, will be one of people remembering that it is a gentleman's game, and that's where I think his impact will be most acutely felt.
Okay, let me run you through the 24 gentlemen that will line up for Europe and America. Europe, first of all, Darren Clarke is the captain. Then his team members are Rafa Cabrera-Bello, Matthew Fitzpatrick, Sergio Garcia, Martin Kaymer, Rory McIlroy, Thomas Peters, Justin Rose, Henrik Stenson, Andy Sullivan, Lee Westwood, Danny Willett, and Chris Wood. They will play Davis Love the third side, and we now know the 12. Ricky Fowler, J.B. Holmes, Dustin Johnson, Zach Johnson, Brooks Koepka, Matt Kuchar, Phil Mickelson, Patrick Reed, Brant Snedeker, Jordan Spieth, Jimmy Walker, and Ryan Moore as the fourth and final pick after the FedEx was finished yesterday. What'd you make of that, Matt?
I thought it was a great pick, you know, from a couple different standpoints, Robert and Gordon. First of all, from the perspective that when you're talking about Ryder Cup picks, in fairness, you're talking about the greatest players in the world. And I don't think that Davis Love III could have made a huge error in that regard. In other words, whoever he picked would have been a fine addition to the United States Ryder Cup team. However, he did go off the worn path in choosing Ryan Moore. You remember when they decided to have four captains' picks and they decided upon what they're calling the Billy Horschel rule, which harkens back to Glenn Eagles when Horschel played so well and won a couple events in the FedEx Cup playoffs towards the end of the PGA Tour season. But the captain's picks had been decided for Tom Watson's team, and he was effectively shut out when he was probably the hottest player in the world at that time, arguably. So they saved that one pick for after the Tour Championship. The way that Ryan played against Rory McIlroy yesterday, because ultimately it did, in fairness, didn't it? It became a head-to-head matchup. It became a singles, and what Rory did was so spectacular. And so it's the most fun that I've had watching a golf event, save for the Open at Royal Troon this summer in some time. But to put Ryan Moore on that team, everybody assumed that it would be Bubba Watson who would get the position. And again, I'm not saying that it would have been incorrect if he had gotten the position, the seventh-ranked player in the world. But to choose Ryan Moore, and it, you know that if you were in that room, that the discussion had to have been, look at the way that he performed on that stage when he had all of that crushing pressure around him. And to have done what he did, yes, he got beaten by Rory McIlroy, and take your hat off to Rory and shake his hand because he played brilliant golf. But I was very impressed with what Ryan Moore was able to do in that setting, and I think it is an exciting pick for the United States Ryder Cup team.
I got the feeling, because Bubba was left out as the world number seven, that they were looking for anyone but Bubba.
No, I don't think that's the case. The inside information that I had on it was Bubba. It was Bubba's pick, if you please, Bubba's pick to lose. In that, yes, the only place where I would say you could raise an eyebrow is say, well, if Bubba was that much of a perfect fit for the team at any point, why wasn't he put on the team before Ricky Fowler? And again, to that point, the word is that those on the team were heavily lobbying for Ricky Fowler to be put upon the squad. Those are the likes of Phil Mickelson, who had, as everyone knows, is a very prominent voice apparently behind the scenes of this United States Ryder Cup team assemblage now and this group mentality in terms of decision-making. But in particular was Jimmy Walker, who said he very much was looking forward to partnering with Ricky Fowler. So they were looking for that elusive team chemistry, and Ricky edged Bubba in that regard. But after that, from what I'm hearing again, Robert, it was Bubba. It was Bubba's position. And Bubba didn't lose it so much as Ryan Moore won it because of what he did through the playoffs.
Well, we've been hearing that the European team, obviously full of youngsters. And to reinforce that take, a listen to Europe's Matt Fitzpatrick, who was asked by our man Nick Dyer for his first Ryder Cup memories. Warning, this will make you feel old.
The first one I can really think of is the K Club 2006. Obviously, that was is a big one for Darren as well, funnily enough. So, yeah, that's the first one.
And what do you remember about it?
I mean, I can't remember too many shots, to be fair. I think the big thing I remember is Tiger hugging Darren, obviously, when Darren won that game. So, I think that was obviously the big thing. And it's a big week for Darren. He got a lot of support. And obviously, for me to be playing in the one that he's captaining is pretty special after seeing that.
Seeing it and hence being involved in it, two different experiences. So, what are your expectations?
I don't really know. I don't think I can put it into words. You know, I'm just, more than anything, I'm just looking forward to it. It's going to be an amazing week. I've heard so much about it. There's obviously a lot that you've got to do and a lot of press and stuff. And yeah, it's just going to be an exciting week, I think. It'll be great.
How do you think you'll cope, Matt?
Every player that's ever played in the Ryder Cup has told us that the most daunting task is simply standing up on the first tee and getting the ball airborne, as they say. So I think he's a gritty player. I think he's got a fire within. I think he has a lot more grit in his game, does Matthew, than he even gets credit for currently. So I think not only will he do well, but I think the experience will bode well for the European side, because I think he's a player you're going to see on that team for many years to come.
Now, in contrast to the Europeans, the American team is very experienced. And U.S. captain Davis Love recently said, this is a biggie, this is the best golf team maybe ever assembled. I'll get Matt's opinion on that in a minute. One man at its heart, though, is the current U.S. Open champion Dustin Johnson, who has a simple game plan for the week ahead.
It's all about making putts. I mean, you got to roll the putter well, you know, if you want to win your matches and if you want to win the team matches or even your individual match. But, you know, I think if I can keep putting well, then I'll be dangerous for sure.
He's certainly dangerous, Dustin Johnson, no doubt about that. Best golf team maybe ever assembled, Matt?
Well, I'm not sure if you realized it, Robert, but that quote that Davis Love III made came from my show on Friday, my breakfast show on Friday. And the one thing that I've noticed that has happened with that quote that obviously has circulated in earnest around the world, probably multiple times, was that Davis Love III was actually on my program for an entirety of 37 minutes. Inclusive in that was a discussion about the mindset of the teams and how they would proceed and where they would go at it. And that's the piece of context that's getting lost on a global basis in the comments from Davis Love III. What he was trying to illustrate was the mindset coming in is that if you do not believe that you are the best, then how possibly can you ever be such? And that what he's trying to do with his team and what he's trying to foster through his vice captains and the counsel that they give to the players themselves is a belief that they are capable, so that they do not try too hard, so that they play, as the cliche goes, within themselves. And as a result, they will be able to perform their best. Instead of playing to, as he put it, not lose, they'll be able to play for victory. And that's the context of those comments that the rest of the world has yet to hear.
Well, thank you, Matt, because I think via your show, he's given the Europeans a mighty freebie, Davis Love, because they're going to use that, Gordon, don't you think?
Yeah, I think to a certain extent, it's become an overload of how we're going to do it, how we're going to play. At the end of the day, Darren and Love do not hit a golf shot in this tournament. It's up to the players how they play, and all this rhetoric about, you know, belief and all that. These guys are unbelievable champions all over the world. It's another week. Go and play golf and be free. That's it. I mean, I think we hear too much
overthinking about it.
I do, really
do. It's got a smell of that, a strong whiff of that. Now, clearly the pairings both captains choose will be crucial. We know that. In a moment, we'll hear from Patrick Reed, but first, a European view from Lee Westwood.
I think it's a good balance. Obviously, we've got a lot of rookies in the European team, but we've got a lot of experience as well. And I think there's some obvious partnerships, some not so obvious, you know, to the outsiders. But I think Darren's got a lot of options, so I think some people will be surprised at some of the pairings that Darren puts out.
Gordon, for you, have you got a couple you can share with us? The Gordon brand pairings?
There's nothing obvious because with half the team as rookies, they're untested, aren't they?
Oh, I think there's a few obvious ones in there.
Who's going to match Sullivan? Play Rory? Are they going to break up Rose and Stenson? Brilliant at Glen Eagles.
They're going to play together for sure. Rory's going to play with Sergio and the foursomes, for sure.
You reckon?
Peters and Kymer, for sure.
Westwood and Fitzpatrick. Yeah, I mean, it goes on and on, you know, but would it be wrong to put two rookies out together?
Well, let's throw that to Matt because one of the only good decisions that Tom Watson made in the last Ryder Cup was putting out Reed and Spieth.
Yeah, absolutely. I could see that union coming back together again. So could you see Ryan Moore and Brooks Koepka as a team here with Brooks Koepka, the brawn and the length that he has, and the precision play of Ryan Moore, who has considerable experience in match play? I think that would be, I hadn't thought about it until you just asked me about it, but that would be a fascinating pairing as well. I would guess that we're also going to see the grouping of Phil Mickelson and Zach Johnson together, because if you guys recall, at the President's Cup, they did very, very well together. They got on well together, and that was when Phil was having the whole thing of rub my belly for luck and all the rest. And I think that was part of the effort to the need to do of having fun and just playing golf, and that's part of making it a little more lighthearted, a model that the U.S. team seems to have been able to embrace when it comes to the President's Cup and struggles to find when it comes to the Ryder Cup. So, yeah, this will be fun to kind of over the next couple of days noodle around and look at the different names and think about who might be put with whom. But it would be amazing, I think, if you put together the rookies on the U.S. side of Koepka and Moore.
Well, it might work well, because with regards to the American pairings, let's hear from Patrick Reed, who is keen to resume his successful partnership with two-time major winner Jordan Spieth.
I think the biggest thing is I grew up playing golf with him. You know, when he first came on the scene on the tour, I already knew what to expect with Jordan. Because, I mean, I grew up playing with him being a Texas boy. So I just feel like hasn't been on tour long, and neither have I, but it's kind of one of those things that we've been playing together forever. It's just kind of one of those things. I know his game. He knows my games. I know how to push his buttons to get him going. He knows how to do the same with me. And it's just kind of one of those things that, you know, it's just kind of one of those pairings that just seems to really work. And yeah, I would love to play with Jordan, but at the end of the day, you know, Jordan and I are going to talk to captains and see what they think is best, because, you know, you can send out a best team, but you also need to make sure it's the best thing for the team.
We know that Reed and Spieth, well, we all think they're going to play together. You talked about Mickelson and Zach Johnson. What about Dustin Johnson? Who do you think he plays with?
Well, Dustin Johnson, there's a lot of choices on who you could put him with, because he's such a long ball hitter that, you know, in the ultimate shot, that would be very interesting. Do you choose the ultimate shot? Do you choose who's going to tee off which hole based upon the long par fours and where you need to bomb it out there? And do you otherwise put him with a tactician with a wedge in hand, which, again, interestingly enough, brings up someone like a Zach Johnson, and what would his pairing be like with Dustin Johnson? It's a very interesting idea as well, isn't it? I mean, how about putting him with another great putter if you put him with a Brant Snedeker, a couple of guys who like to get on fast and play the game and move on down the fairway? I think that would be a fascinating pairing as well. I mean, this is the stuff that's, you know, a pint in the pub someplace with scratch pads and talking about what about this person, what about that person, that makes the Ryder Cup so much fun. And I think why we all collectively as fans revel in it, because you look at these different groups and think, what if?
And how important, Gordon, is the first session on Friday morning to establish the lead?
A team wants to get momentum. A team wants to figure out the pairings they've made on the first morning as key. We've got some winners here. We've got some losers, guys that were uncomfortable. So I think it'd be great, US or Europe, whoever gets the edge on the first morning session is going to feel great. They're going to go into the team room, work done, good work, or they go into the team room, that didn't work, we need to do better. So momentum is very, very key.
Predictions, fellas. Gordon, first of all, who is going to be the top point scorer for the United States team and the European team?
Rory is going to be the top pick for me, and Reed is going to be the American pick.
Classy. Matt?
Yeah, Rory McIlroy for Europe in my book, and I would say Dustin Johnson, given his current form right now for Team USA.
I can't argue against either of those. I'm going to have to go for...
But that's three names, Robert. We're asking for two.
I'm going to give you two. I'm going to go with Matt's suggestion.
Yes.
I think DJ had a poor last round in the Tour Championship, but he's a formidable player, and Rory, I've got to go for those two, so we'll see. I think Thomas Peters, by the way, for the Europeans, is going to have a fantastic Ryder Cup. And who is going to win, Matt?
Right now, my sense is that Team USA is going to edge it out. I do also think that for the Ryder Cup, I think it's important for the American team to win as well for a variety of reasons. But I think, obviously, it's going to be a spirited match, and I think it's going to be highly competitive and highly close.
Yeah, I think it will be. Gordon, who's going to edge it for you or walk away with it? What do you think?
There's only one answer to that. It's the Europeans for me. They're going to edge it. It's going to be tight, as it always is, being, you know, have no nails on Sunday evening, and Europe are going to win it.
Only two players, Matt, on that American team have experienced a win in a Ryder Cup, and what it's like to celebrate with your fellow teammates. Only two players have done that.
Yeah, I think the lack of the elixir has only heightened their thirst. So I don't think it's going to be a question of experience of having one or not having one that will motivate them to play their best golf. It's going to be the fact that the pain of losing is a flavor that's in their mouth still, and it's a bitter taste. I think it's a very, very good squad. I do feel good about it.
Matt, thank you very much for joining us. Thanks for your educated opinion on the Race to Dubai show, and thank you for using the word elixir, which doesn't make it onto this show that often. So for all those reasons, have a great week and enjoy the Ryder Cup.
It was a pleasure, gentlemen. Thank you.
It's always great to hear from Matt, because he's a great contributor to our show, no doubt about that, and he's got a busy life himself across the pond. For you, Gordon, then, final thoughts before we get into this Ryder Cup.
The small shots are going to win the Ryder Cup.
What do you mean the small shots?
Not
Explain
the big
that.
Boomers.
Explain that.
Well,
small
are we
shots.
Alluding to, you know, who are we going to be the big boomers with? Is he going to drive the ball 300 yards? It's not won by that. It's won by the small things.
Little things are important,
very,
aren't they?
Very, very.
Yeah, little things can often be overlooked.
Yes.
Sometimes little things can be pleasing things. That's all for now. Next week, we'll review the Ryder Cup and preview the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship and Fiji International. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news from the European Tour via Facebook, Snapchat, and Instagram. And please get in touch via Twitter with your questions at European Tour with the hashtag ETPodcast, all one word, small case. But for now, from Gordon Brown Jr., who's gone for?
The Europeans to snatch it.
And Matt Adams, who's gone for Team USA. Of course he has. And myself, Robert Lee. Just have a great Ryder Cup and let the best team win. We'll see you next time.